still counting my blessings. All that you've done in my life.
Happy Easter, everybody, and welcome to another very special Spring is Springing episode of Ignite Radio Live.
You are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio for the Almighty. And yes, it is still Easter. How blessed. 50-day celebration. So we invite you to join us to go more deeply into this great and wonderful adventure of marriage and family at ilovemyfamily.us. We love that that's a proclamation. Let's just declare that. ilovemyfamily.us. You will find many resources there, but in particular, we point you to the Live It Gathering Guide. What does it stand for? Image Trinity. Families become what you are. John Paul II, which is what? To image the Trinity. It will give you the tools to be guided to more readily and easily gather to talk and pray as a family.
Awesome. So, folks, we're going to do a little bit of an off-roading episode here. Our theme this year is Heaven Come to Earth, which is, as we've said, is both a proclamation. For every need, Christ is the answer. He breached the gap, the eternal divide between heaven and earth, and meets us. He meets us through our church. He meets us through the sacraments. He meets us personally right now. And it's also, so it's a proclamation, but it's also a pursuit. It's something that each of us right now, if we're really honest, we come from a place of poverty. And so we need to open our hearts and minds all the more to how we can experience that life-giving, redeeming Easter joy in life. And so that's kind of our theme this year. And usually we do our own stories in the gospel and go into the loop. Tonight, we're going to have an incredible guest, Jesse Manabusan. You may know his music. It's in many church hymnals and such. Composer, singer, songwriter, storyteller, humorist, catechist, evangelizer, and encourager. He speaks all over the world. And he brings just such vitality, life, and joy. But he's been a good friend of ours for a couple decades now, and we're very excited to call him, which we're going to do right now. Jesse, the amazing Manabusan. Happy Easter, brother.
I'm doing good.
It has been way too long, I think over two decades. You are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter, by the way, on Ignite Radio Live. We're so glad to have you with us.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Steffi. Good to be with you all.
Yes. And I feel like I kind of see you because I just have such vivid memories of so long ago being together, but also just feels like a moment ago in some ways.
Joy, delight, yeah. Exuberance are my impressed in my memory and imagination of you, brother, when you would come and speak at many of our occasions in Erie, Pennsylvania, and on national stages, Catholic and non-Catholic throughout the world, as we introduced you. But one can't escape a big yellow shirt with a big smiley face on it, which is, you know, I don't know if that's still your trademark, but I think I saw on your website a red shirt. So at some point you made a shift there.
Well, we've actually had a design change, but that smiley face has definitely been with me since 1998. When I first started wearing it, I wore it to my first NCYC, and, you know, students were, you know, young people were going, "Hey, are you that smiley face guy?" Yes.
Well, I would say that even without the t-shirts, because you just are that smiley face guy. Your warm smile just exudes the warmth of God's joy. So thank you for that.
For those of us who struggle with inner discord, pervasive inner discord, and for those of you who are listening, we do know for many, there may be physiological realities that certainly require professionals. But for some of us, predominantly, there are emotional, spiritual, relational, historical reasons that we can address, and in specific, anger. And you had said to me, and it stuck with me 20 years ago. Now, this is when our kids were younger. Since then, we had teenagers. Since then, we had kids.
Exactly.
All of that. And as you and I know, I'm just being honest here. As we get older, because God designed marriage to be a context of refinement, we face our weaknesses and our wounds. And I have my hand in the air, and I've confessed this, and I've worked on it my whole life. Volatility has been a challenge for me. And to really unpack that and understand it and experience again the redemptive power of Christ. So overall, that quite often I would think of words that you very vulnerably, transparently shared with me once. It was, you know, you weren't on the stage, it was just us together. And you said, you know, brother, I have really struggled with anger. Like, I've really struggled with that. So I think many who are listening right now, all of you who are listening, all of us, I'm sure, at times battle with that. And I might even say again, disordered anguish or discord. So I do tonight, folks, I do want to tap the wisdom, the proclamation, the life of Christ, which I know is going to flow through our brother here. And that's where I really want to focus tonight. But before we get there, to our audience, and folks, I do want to direct you to J-E-S-S-E, Jesse Manabusan, M-A-N-I-B-U-S-A-N.com, jessemanabusan.com. Any of you who are looking for a phenomenal, truly phenomenal speaker, storyteller, writer, singer, songwriter, who can bring the kingdom. He embodies the kingdom because he brings it with truth. He brings it with authenticity. It's tied to the Paschal mystery. That's why I love you so much. So, check it out. Again, Jesse, J-E-S-S-E-M-A-N-I-B-U-S-A-N.com. So, Jesse, before we go further, in my fire hose fashion, some things never change. set the stage for us, just if you could, as much time as you want. Tell us a little bit of your backstory.
Yeah, absolutely, Gregory and Steffi. Thank you so much for the invitation and for, I'm humbled by the invitation to share on it. It begins with, for us, it begins and continues with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I always say to the people that I speak to and serve that every generation takes its turn at living out the gospel with great perfect imperfection. Mm. That Mary and Joseph, young Jesus, all the children and women and men who Jesus walked with, and all the folks that Jesus healed, that he was primarily, the redemptive experience was that he accompanied them. Mm. He validated them. He listened to them. He saw them and he believed them. Mm. Everyone who he approached and everyone who encountered Jesus walked away, changed, challenged. Even the story about the rich young person who came to Jesus and said, I've done all of the required things of me as a person of faith. What else must I do? And Jesus says, well, sell all your possessions and come and follow me, which in many ways can be heard. And, all you hear about that young man is he lowered his head and walked away, sadly walked away. I remember my spiritual director, the late great Father Gregory Camella, a precious blood priest who he and Sister Ann Russell, who's an Adrian Dominican, were two of my most beloved mentors, would say, imagine that Jesus is saying to that young person, what would life be if we were to look at the things, the places, the personalities, the circumstances, and our possessions, and let go of them, stop clinging to them, especially if they are possessing us. Let all so that good. Possesses us, our history, our grief, our sorrow, our trauma, our need to be right, our need to figure all things out. What would it be like if we were to surrender that, to let go of that and cling to Jesus, cling to his word, cling to his providence? That has been with me forever. And I think I grew up thinking that something was wrong with me until I got much older. I think the beautiful thing about faith is that we have the grace where the roots of our faith are planted much more deeply than our parents, our great-grandparents, our godparents, or even ourselves know until we're hit, until we take a hit, a physical, emotional, spiritual hit. And then lo and behold, we are enduring our faith, the size of a mustard seed, our hope, our courage, our sense of reliance. The faith of a mustard seed is enough. My grandparents, during World War II, My grandfather was a prisoner of war.
Wow.
In Guam. And my grandmother and many of our families were hiding in the caves in Guam.
Wow.
And had thought that my grandfather had died because there was word that he was tortured and he was beaten quite brutally, as war does. There's a dehumanization wherever there is war, no matter how much we want to romanticize it, it is quite devastating and it creates desolation. And my grandfather passed on, you know, he passed on the echoes, the rippling effect of his grief, his humiliation, his powerlessness, dare say, his anger. He passed it on to his wife, my grandmother, through alcohol, through rage, through powerlessness. And it was unattended powerlessness, unattended rage, unattended anger. And she, in turn, learned in a similar fashion a way to survive the onslaught of the violence that was wreaked upon her by her beloved spouse. I'm saying this because those elements get pushed to the next generation. It's something that gets transferred. There's generational trauma. My dad was a young 10-year-old during the war. My mom was a 9-year-old, and they witnessed the camps, the prison camps. They witnessed the occupation, the military occupation, and they witnessed such horrific desolation and brutality. So what do you do with that when you grow up and you suffer those kinds of experiences, those kinds of violences? You do what you do best. You do your best to survive it. And there's no, you know, the effects of that trauma shaped them, and it got carried to the next generation with me and my 9 siblings. I say this as a context for, we don't know why we're so deeply angry, so deeply hurt, so deeply, where they could say in 12-step groups, where we turn a 2 into a 10, where we're overreacting for something that makes no sense for that kind of reaction. I'm saying that a lot of us experience, without any awareness of different levels, deep trauma. And our grandparents passed it on, and our parents passed it on. And to some extent, I passed it on to my own children. Here's the good news. Here's the good news, because Jesus is the solution. The compassion of Jesus is the solution. We may have got generational trauma. We may have gotten generational anger and rage and humiliation and desolation and shame. We may have gotten generational, all of that. But you know what else we got through Jesus and through our faith? We got generational hope.
Amen.
We got generational patience. We got generational resilience. We got generational compassion and forgiveness and mercy. And that is the saving grace of my grandparents, who made it through 65 years of marriage.
Wow.
My grandparents went to Mass every day, 6 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
Until they could no longer. And then they discovered Mass on TV. And so, you know, I really believe in my heart of hearts that their faith sustained them and is what allowed them to endure the suffering, the great suffering that it held throughout their lives. And the same with my parents. My dad had issues with domestic violence and rage and control. And my mother very much took upon her mother's characteristic, where she would withhold her feelings until she couldn't anymore, and then she would blow up. And we were raised with that kind of emotional turbulence. And I'm saying that I really believe, again, in my heart of hearts, that the salvific characteristic of our faith is that we are not alone. Mm. We are not our grief. We are not our generational trauma. We are not our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts. We are not our circumstances. Above all else and forever, and we clearly get this from Jesus, is that we are beloved, we are blessed, we are highly favored, and we are full of grace. Living, yes, in a world, in a paschal mystery of joy and sorrow, of powerlessness and empowerment, of fear and courageous faithfulness. The good news is that Jesus is the compassion of God. Jesus, I think the older theology say that, you know, Jesus saves us. I think more meaningfully, and this is from the Franciscan school in Berkeley and the Jesuit school and the Dominican school, and just, you know, and working in faith circles and ministry for most of my life, is that Jesus sends the paraclete. The paraclete, who always thought, why would Jesus send a bird? I thought that Jesus was going to send a dove. But I heard at a national conference for Catholic youth ministers that the paraclete means the one who remains.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
So Jesus sends his very self in the spirit and does what he's done from the beginning of his life, and he walks with us. And he accompanies us, and he has us in his everlasting grace and protection and healing love. That is the great news. That's the good and great news. I think I won't say the devil is in the details, but that's just one piece of it. Learning how to, I think I grew up thinking, you know, I would hear stuff like, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be scared of. Or don't be angry. Angry is like, it's like murder in the gospel. If you're angry, it's like murder. You know, all of the models and definitions that I received as a childhood, not all, but so many of them, they're so different as I look at them now. Steffi and Gregory, they're so different in that our feelings and our emotions are not enemies. They're not an adversary to be conquered or to even be won over. I look now today that the way that God is created our human selves, that we have this great miracle where we have emotions. We have an amygdala, you know, we have our whole emotional system where the amygdala in our brain.
It's a fun word,
and part
amygdala.
Of our brainstem, you know, processes emotions and stress responses and all of that and more. That, you know, human beings live and survive like the first 6 months of our lives on Earth. The primary element of our brain function was survival. It's what they call the limbic brain, the reptile brain, like, run, a brontosaurus is after you, which is not a very fast creature, but nor were there brontosauruses when there were humans walking the Earth. But the point is that the amygdala is that part of the reptile, what we call the reptile brain, which is either in flight or fight or freeze or fawn. Those are different aspects of how we react especially to the intense emotions like fear, like anger, like powerlessness. Because if somebody feels powerless, what is it that they need? They have a need to feel empowered. And sometimes we don't get that. So we just break things or throw things or yell at people or say horrible things to ourselves. And it eats away at us, and it wounds us. It wounds us every time we don't we don't learn and acknowledge that, hey, this is an angel. Anger, fear, grief, powerlessness. It's an angel in this moment. It's a messenger saying, hey, pay attention. Something's going on. Something's going on.
It's a powerful image.
We could look to the story of Jesus in the desert being tempted by Satan, that Jesus is being addressed in the desert, and the enemy is moving upon Jesus in his hunger. So looking to his hunger and his thirst, and the story goes that, the Satan has an answer. Just, it's easy. He never says, feel the hunger or feel the thirst. Hmm. He gives Jesus an option like, hey, you want to make some sourdough? Just pick up one of these rocks, yeah. Man. You want some croissants or some bagels? Oy vey. Just, say it and turn these rocks into a bagel dog. But, kosher.
Wonderful.
So Jesus, because Jesus is with the Father and in spirit, knows that there's nothing wrong with hunger or thirst. And his response is, hey, I do hunger and I have a thirst, but it's for something deeper, something more life-giving. No shortcuts, no life hacks. And he turns away from each of the three temptations in a similar fashion. I really believe in my heart of hearts that as we, as people of faith, cultivate a heroic humility every day, one day at a time, a courageous compassion and self-compassion, I think we're in a much better and healthier and holier place to be able to be attentive to God's word, God's spirit, and God's invitation in every moment, whether it's anger, or grief, or even joy. Because I have learned something through many years of therapy and spiritual direction. If I, as many human beings do, if I learn to shut down my anger, to shut down and not feel the powerlessness and not feel the grief and not feel the fear and all of it. If I shut that down, God gave me this brain and this mechanism that's going to shut everything down.
So good.
Because that's the glory of God's creation.
Yeah.
We just don't shut down the tough stuff. We shut down the capacity for joy and happiness. And I think the great gift to the church and to our evolving sense of awareness and behavior really gives us an opportunity to not hide from the suffering or cover the suffering or bury the suffering, but it gives us an opportunity to really take the suffering to the Lord.
So powerful. Folks, you are tuned into Ignite Radio Live, and we are with a dear brother in Christ, Jesse Manabusan. And I want to direct you again to his site, Jesse Manabusan, Manibusan.com. And just sharing with us, just ministering to us, John 4:14, streams of living water, woman at the well kind of thing. Just that coming before the Lord in this capacity of feelings and emotions, which, by the way, God not only gave, he exhibited in Jesus Christ. We can't just shut them down. We can't just run from them. We can't medicate them. I mean, some of you know that physical reality. I get that. But by and large, we're speaking to a capacity God gives us to deal with them. Brother Jesse, I wonder if you could get in the weeds just a little bit in the particularities for those who are listening right now. Many men right now feel helpless. And they're medicating through porn or medicating through just getting out. Some are, quite frankly, let's be honest, some are medicating with religion. Some are medicating with the thing on Sunday morning or Saturday morning. And they're afraid of their homes because those are the triggers. They're like, there's like a wall full of triggers in their kids and their wife and their history and their baggage that's reinforced. And so, even if they go on the Great Retreat and they get a vision of Bob Schutz event or, Neil Lozano or something powerful that gives them a sense of the stuff you're saying, they're going back to the same living room with the same beat up furniture of their kids and family that are reinforcing, you know, dad, you failed us, dad, shame, dad, you went ballistic, dad. And there's never an opportunity for dad to surface from that. So again, fire hosing it threw a lot at you. Put some particularity on how this, you know, maybe plays out.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for that invitation. I would say that it's number one, it's grace. You know, my daughter and I wrote this song that goes, all are welcome in this place. Behold God's amazing grace. All are welcome. Mm. All are welcome. Bring your hopes, bring your fears. Mercy flows and love redeems. Mm. Bring your hopes, bring your dreams. Mercy flows and love redeems.
Wow.
All are welcome. All belong. For most of my life, I did not live in that. In that context, I was, I could get on the stage in front of people and make them laugh, invite them into singing. You and Steffi have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I never went in with confidence. I always went in with doubt, absolute doubt and fear. But I learned at a very early age how to perform. I'm not saying that it wasn't authentic.
Sure.
I'm saying that the Holy Spirit shows up whether or not we're aware, consciously or subconsciously, the Holy Spirit is going to show up. And in the 12-step program, they simply say, don't worry about fixing anything. Just keep coming back.
Mm.
Just, okay. And this is one that really hits me hard. Keep showing up and let the angels do the heavy lifting.
Mm.
That the angels do the heavy lifting. And it would always, for years, I felt so much like an imposter. Like I felt so duplicitous and without not knowing any better, I would just try to be good. I would just try to do better. Mm-hmm. But I would never, until I started talking with Father Greg and Sister Ann Russell and other people of faith, and start telling the other side of the story. I don't know if you remember Paul Harvey and the rest of the story.
Yes.
Forget. So,
there's one thing to share the good news on stage and on a microphone. There's one thing to teach a confirmation class or a baptismal class. There's one thing to be in leadership in Marriage Encounter or Engaged Encounter or Casillo. It's another thing for each and every one of us to do the work of self-examination, do the work of self-reflection, and do the work of growing in grace, growing in authenticity, and growing as a human being. It took being accompanied by holy men and women who their most powerful aspect of their ministry was their humanity.
Mm.
It was their humility. It's Father Rich who introduced himself to a parish once and said, "Hi, I'm Father Rich. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I'm glad and so honored and humbled to be your servant." Or Bishop Ken Untner from the Diocese of Saginaw, who said, "Hi, I'm Bishop Ken, and I'm your waiter." It's running into people because Jesus does, and his mother, and Saint Joseph. They're not full of themselves. It's like they do everything in power to not put light on themselves. Jesus even says, "Hey, you're a faith. It was your faith that healed you. It was your friends who got on top of the roof and lowered you down. You're the one who approached me and asked me for help." And so in that regard, I am learning through every day, one day at a time, that look to Jesus. Look at Jesus's story and insert your life into it. Don't just commemorate Easter. Let Jesus Easter in us.
Amen.
Let Jesus Advent in us, and all of it, in all of its messiness and all of its gracefulness. It is God's work that we are involved in. And so I'm here. I think the most important part of my ministry is to listen to the people who invite me, to listen to them and ask them, what is it that you need? What is it that your people need? What is it that your leaders need? What are their strengths? What are some of their weaknesses? What are some of the great struggles? And we're able to have, able for me to, and us to pray about that, and then visit the community and impart those bits and pieces of holy wisdom into the experiences of song, spoken word, multimedia. It's Jesus. It's all the Holy Spirit. Mm. It's our Blessed Mother. It's Joseph, Saint Joseph, Saint Elizabeth, Saint Monica, Saint Augustine, Saint Francis of Assisi, Saint Clare. It's all
the whole team.
Of the saints. It's the whole team. It's the whole communion in solidarity and oneness, saying, "All right, today is the day."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Today is the day.
Amen.
And there's no winning. There's no losing. There's it's all how shall we just help people and ourselves discover the Holy One among us.
Mm, amen. Jesse, if I could just jump back to some of your earlier words that really I just want to highlight and thank you for pointing out, as you spoke of, you know, the generational trauma. First, I want to say yes, like, it is real, right? It is real and needs to be acknowledged and the effect of it. But I love how you also pointed out generational hope and all the positive things with that, that is just as real and even more important in many ways. And I don't say that and emphasize that piece of it to diminish, you know, the trauma, the anger, for lack of a better word, yuckiness. Isn't that such a great word? look it up sometime. But just like, I think we, as whatever kind of people we would like to describe ourselves as, we just diminish the power of that. Like, we need to realize, as you described from your grandparents and your parents, their, you know, their long marriages and their perseverance and their prayer, and despite the generational trauma that they were carrying with them, there was still so much good and a heart behind it. And again, not to diminish things that were not of God, right? But I also want to say, where my mind went with that too, was the generational prayer and the effect and the grace that we as believers know is so real. Our good and gracious God, who is outside of time, right? Like, you know, they were praying for you and for your children and for your children's children. Mm-hmm. And that is powerful, and that has an impact. And that generational prayer is real. And I just love to think of that and thank God for that, and that praise him that can be passed along as well.
Absolutely, Steffi. 100%.
Yeah. It's just 100%. Powerful.
Thank you.
And I think that helps deal with, maybe not deal with, but perhaps tills the soil a little bit for the grace that you're speaking of, right? The work that needs to be done to overcome some of those things. And I think it's so easy for us to focus on that negative. And even, you know, as parents or friends, or, I mean, we are an imperfect people, right? Praise God for our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. But that it's so easy for us also to just focus on the injustices done to us, or the hurt that's been done to us, or the wounds that have inflicted us. And again, not to diminish them, but if we just focus so much on that and not in the bigger realm and the goodness and the heart that is also a part of that person who wounded us, perhaps, I just think that's the work of the enemy.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Steffi. You know, I think of the image that the church teaches, that Jesus is the compassion of God. in everything that Jesus did, he accompanied people. He listened. Mm-hmm. It was like he listened to their hearts. Mm-hmm. Without any judgment, without any condemnation, without any shame, he affirmed, validated, and created this and helped them discover the holy that they are, the mm-hmm. beloved and the blessed. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm walking around thinking that there's something wrong with me, that something is absolutely flawed and broken in me, if that's all I do have, mm-hmm. parts of my life is fractured. I'm still surviving the tragedy of divorce. Mm-hmm. After almost 30 years of married life, of 30 years where I'm thinking, I've already imagined, I've used my Catholic imagination about growing old with someone, and in the beginning, and it didn't happen overnight. There were things that I didn't catch, that she didn't catch. There were wounds that we were unaware of. There was such great suffering. And by the 30th year, it just all fell. And in that moment, Steffi and Gregory, in that moment, it felt like death.
What year was that? Like, when did that happen?
2015,
okay.
After me and Father Ricky Manalo and Ken Canedo got back from the Philippines upon the visitation of Pope Francis to the Philippines for this huge catechetical conference. And 2 weeks later, my wife had moved out while I was away on a parish mission after that. And it's not like there were signs. And it's a much more complicated story than that. I only mention it because life is complicated. It's complicated, and there's a term called spiritual bypass. That it's a new word for me. It's a new term for me, and it's not a positive implication. The word is the context is sometimes we spiritualize or theologize something without breaking it open and really looking at it.
So true. The human reality of it, the our work awareness of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So I remember upon that break, all I could feel was anger, resentment, dare I even say hatred, but underneath it was grief. Underneath it was powerlessness. And the people who encouraged me, Tom Booth called me when he found out, Robert Fiducia, Sarah Hart, Valimar Jansen, and they all said, we love you. We love your family. We're praying for you, and you are not alone, and you are not alone. And that was the communion of saints coming together.
Beautiful.
And life is... Some people say life is it a journey or is it a destination? What's the most important part? I heard recently that it's not just the journey or the destination, it's the company you keep. It's the community.
Communion.
You're connected to. It is communion in the year, in the Eucharistic revival.
Yeah.
It is being one, acknowledging and acting from a loving oneness. And I just had breakfast with my former wife and our two grown daughters.
How beautiful.
Just yesterday.
Yay,
and we were laughing, and it's not that it's perfect and there's no residual hurt. It's going to be what it's going to be. But I even, you know, I've been made a joke where my former spouse was like, I'm going to buy breakfast. And I said, I'm going to buy breakfast. and my youngest daughter goes, it just doesn't seem like anything's changed. Oh. And we all started laughing. Not that divorce is, it's not a laughing matter. It's very serious. It wounds the heart, the spirit, and it rippling ocean of hurt amongst our family, our friends, our community. However, there's something greater than that rippling wound. It's that rippling, everlasting, ever-present, ever-transforming, ever-healing love of Christ.
Oh, so good. So good. You know, when I knew you, I might have in Tolkien terms have regarded you as somewhat of a Gimli, just with spirit and song and all of that also, but just robust, vibrant, certainly full of personality, vim and vigor. What I'm hearing now is even more than a Gandalf the Grey. I'm hearing a Gandalf the White. I'm hearing a voice of one who has battled the Balrog. And as we know, yes, our humanity, all of us bring something, but it's the Ephesians 6:12, we fight not against flesh and blood. And the more we awaken that, I don't entirely want to make this shift, but if people could look below the shallows of politics and ideologies and see in the depths of humanity, dignified by God, Jesus Christ, yeah, made in his image, and see in him that reality, yeah, and as you just said, such a powerful thing, I don't want to lose it, to look in people's eyes, the gaze, G-A-Z, to look in the eyes and see that goodness and that dignity, and to focus more on drawing that out, right? To focus more on when we sit down, can we sit down with one another and appreciate and behold the beauty in the depths beyond the shallows? That's a message. I mean, just to our listeners right now, folks, does not your marriage and family and parish and diocese need to hear that message? And don't they need to hear or have a, yeah, context in the presence of the Eucharist and our Blessed Mother? I hear you say repeatedly, I've always known your love for, yeah, Our Lady. And St. Joseph, a context where, guess what? It can actually happen. Well, folks, Jesse Manabusan, if you're looking at the diocesan event or retreat, and I'm just going to be your biggest cheerleader here along with Steph to open that door. But, you know, I think there are many ministry leaders, you and I know them. They're great on stage. I mean, you and I know them personally. And we know, yeah, the devastation, yeah, that happened, maybe to an extent, because the way Wormwood whispers to people like us who are faithful may not be the typical things, but they're even more dangerous. They're like, derive your value from your appraisal of your spiritual works or your spiritual, yeah, goodness. Dare I say spiritual narcissism? I mean, I told my, yeah, kids this early on. I said, you know, you guys, yeah, we're going to struggle because you're human, maybe with porn or things online, and you need to battle that and structure that. But the greatest thing is going to be you thinking your value is somehow based upon a goodness that you accomplish, a Pelagian kind of thing. Your life, brother, yeah, right now is pronouncing an end to that, false Babel idol, which frees us for what? I mean, Audrey Assad, I pray for her. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sister in Christ. I just love her, pray for her and her journey. But, you know, she's the one, yeah, who captured, I believe, right, the litany of humility. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but my gosh, yeah.
My goodness, if I could take one of those and say, nailed it, but I'm blessed by the fact that I'm not there and that God loves me in the not being there to get me there.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing, yeah, you say that. I'm ministered by that.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Praise God.
Speak, if you will. Right now, you spoke of folks, you know, certainly through the divorce and the struggle, and you identified, obviously, those who battle with rage. And I think you spoke, you know, the truth that is more than just cliche. I think that's a big thing, too, for us to realize that the timeless truths come more and more alive. They're not just easy things that roll off our tongue in a great talk. I mean, they're real. They're embodied. There's a battle. So I hear that from you. Speak to those, though, in those two instances, battling right now with rage. And maybe even, I'm going to say this, I'm being allowed, speaking aloud here. Maybe lead us in prayer. And we'll see what's on the other end of that prayer. But I think right now, there's clarity, and I think those who are listening, all of us to some extent, know the battles within and how they affect things, and we're being given a new vision, new eyes of faith through what you're describing. Can you lead us in a prayer into the redemptive heart of Christ in our circumstances and maybe those battling with divorce?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Good and gracious Holy One, Beloved Jesus, beloved Christ, beloved, you lead us, you show us how to live, how to love with joy in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulation. You show us how to live with compassion, with mercy, with humility and vulnerability. You teach us to help others, to be sacrificial and of service. Mm. And you teach us to be of service and of sacrifice to ourselves, our very selves. As we move through our lives, you give us what we need. You inspire us in the darkest of moments, in the most impoverished of moments, in the darkest of loneliness and despair. For it is your love that is not just a poem or an essay or a history or a proclamation. Your life is a proclamation to us that moves in and around and all about us, and to walk in love and light and compassion, to consider that that is the best way to live our best life, to speak honestly. You give us the grace to speak honestly and courageously about our feelings, about our greatest fears, about our greatest despair, about our anxiety, about our anger, about our grief, about our sorrow, about our powerlessness, our resentment. You give us enough grace to move us ever closer to your truth, your transforming truth, your transforming and healing, amazing grace. You show us how to walk in the desert, how to climb the mountains that we face. You show us in your life how to be in the garden with sorrow and fear. And you show us how the salvation of life blooms in that garden of sorrow and fear, and that new life is always born from death and darkness and despair. That new life, that you are the new life that we long for, that we thirst and hunger for. And we know that the hill where love was lifted, where you shed your blood on that heavy wood, that your blood flowed and flows in streams of mercy where your mother stood with you and with us. And the tomb could not hold you in the darkness of fear, in the darkness of anxiety, in the darkness of feelings of failure, powerlessness. From that tomb, your life breaks through the morning a redemption, raising us to new life. Raising us to new life one day at a time through every tribulation. And because you give us that great gift, you give us that gift in just being present in the Eucharist, in the sacraments, in our relationship with our mother, in the relationship with the communion of saints, in relationship with one another, and in relationship with all that we are, all that is joy and happy, all that is despair and fear. You give us, you break through all of it with new life in us. And for this, we take this day, this moment of grace, and trust it, and trust you. For you always do the heavy lifting and simply call us and fight us to keep coming back, no matter what. Keep coming back, because your grace is truly enough. Amen.
Amen.
We receive, we receive, we receive. Folks, so blessed that you are with us on this journey to eternity with our brother, Jesse Manabusan. And just what a powerful prayer. And I think just let those streams of living water continue to flow. As Jesse just tapped some place of blood and water outpoured and opened up doors for us to experience the healing waters of God's grace. Just the word right now is just let it flow, let it move through our minds and our hearts and take away the debris and restore. Check him out, by the way, at Jesse Manibusan, JesseManibusan.com. And as a conclusion here, just letting these streams flow, I'm just moved to invoke the very powerful hymn that many throughout the world have sung, World Youth Days and all of that. Yeah. And it occurs to me, you experienced that in the cauldron. Like you experienced the delight and the joy and the grace while you were battling your own interior stuff that you shared while married. And maybe the message there to somewhat, we're going to conclude, I'm going to play that song as a conclusion, but I want to tap your heart and just this insight that in the midst of the darkness or the desert that any of you brothers and sisters are experiencing right now, God is still speaking into that reality, powerful truths as he did to you, Jesse, in this among many songs, but that song, tell us maybe how that song has maybe even gained more meaning as you think about that now, a couple decades later.
Well, as a young person back in 1983, I was in the narthex of the parish that I was serving for over 20 years as a young adult. And I was looking through the gospel that was going to be proclaimed for that week. And it was the one where the blind beggar is saying, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. And the villagers are like, please shut up. And even a couple of Jesus's disciples are like, hey, please listen, we're with Jesus, you're not. And that beggar continues, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Well, there's one thing that this guy he may not have had vision. He may not have had very good sight, but he had good ears. Mm-hmm. And once he heard that Jesus was close by, he started calling out. Mm-hmm. He started doing one of the greatest prayers of the church, which is help. Mm-hmm. Help me, because you're the one who can help me. And Jesus finally gets through to him, reaches him, probably says to the two or three disciples, hey, when I institute the sacrament of reconciliation, you guys are first in line. he says, this is the thing that really gets me, Stephanie and Gregory, that Jesus responds to this blind beggar and says, hey, I heard you call me. I hear you. I hear you. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was as much a miracle as to this person receiving sight. Mm. Maybe the miracle was that he changed his script from alms for the blind, alms for the poor. Maybe the miracle was that he didn't have good sight, but he had good vision, he had great hearing, and he called out to Jesus. Mm. Against all odds, he called out to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say, what you need is more vitamin A, stop spending so much time on your computer and your devices, look into LASIK surgery glasses. Jesus says to him, and this just blows me away, because Jesus says, I heard you call me. What is it that you need of me? Because it's important that we speak it. It's important. I think that's where the transformation comes from. If I can admit, I struggle with anger. I struggle with rage. I struggle with pornography. I struggle with shutting down my emotions. I struggle with being present with my family. I struggle with being in healthier relationships. Until we are able to name it, because God's grace and mercy abounds, but we've got to do our small part to confess it, to profess it. And then it shows like, oh, that's the receiving posture. Lord, and Matt Maher writes this great song, I need you. Mm-hmm. That's what I need. I need you. You are my greatest need. You are my greatest desire. That's where Open My Eyes came from.
So
and he
beautiful.
Opened his ears and opened his heart. So I wasn't writing a song to get published. I was just writing a simple song that the church might be able to sing with not too much difficulty.
Well, isn't there such power in the simplicity of that prayer, right? Because that's what it definitely all comes down to. And I think too often we put And it is important to voice things 100%. But I think we feel too, the more words we say or the more, you know, fill in the blank that we do, that's what it takes. That's a secret formula. When the Lord is just asking for a sincere, simple heart and all that is in there, just to bring it simply before Him.
Our son, Joseph, you may or may not know, his song is number
Joseph.
One. Seth Schleter, number one song on Christian stations throughout the country
Joseph
and in concert with Matt Maher right now. You were top of the list of his being immersed in our ministerially home and atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And he would have been blessed and was blessed by your mission and ministry and music in his earliest years that factored into his cultivating a heart and mind of worship. So as parents, I pass it along to you. I pass it along to your wife. I pass it along to your family that continues to reverberate the kingdom. And all of you who are listening, join us in this journey and being mindful of that centerpiece of the Mass. This is my body broken for you. Blessing comes by way of brokenness. I hear you say above all, when we acknowledge it, when we acknowledge it, and we let Christ, uniting that with Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, so glad you're on the journey. Jesse, love you so much. It's been too long, and I do hope that we can connect again soon. But, man, I pray for continued outpouring of grace and blessing, and thank you for your yes. Thank you for your yes. Renouncing all shame, anything that may linger in clouds in your life. It sounds like you're pretty much standing in the light, but we're going to speak that over you and just pray that you continue to just be a bold beacon for the kingdom. Thank you so much. I love you, brother.
Thank you so much, Gregory and Stephanie.
God bless you, Jesse.
Give Joe my love.
Will do. All right.
Yes.
God bless you. Take care.
Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see. Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear your voice. Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear. Open my heart, Lord, help me to love like you. Open my heart, Lord, help me to love. And the first shall be last, and our eyes are opened, and we'll hear like never before. And we'll speak in new ways, and we'll see God's face in places we'd never know. I live within you, deep in your heart, oh love. I live within you. Rest now in me. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see. Help me to see.